Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Pray for Pastor Gary. I hope you pray for Pastor Gary. I pray for him almost every single day. I've experienced ministry a little bit. I'm a teacher at the school, and I've experienced the attacks that come at you when you try to take a stand for the Lord, when you try to do something for the Lord. And we need to keep our pastor, Jolene, in prayer. So let's just keep praying a little bit right now. Lord Jesus, we know you've spoken to us this morning about praying for our pastor. And so we pray for our pastor now, Pastor Gary, again. We pray that you would continue to deflect the arrows of the enemy in his life, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would enrich his marriage. We pray that you would pour out your anointing upon him, Lord Jesus Christ, to do the work that you've called him to do. We pray for increased time with you, that he would have time to spend with you and to know you even better and better and to advance in the kingdom of God, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, pour it out upon him. Pour your favor out upon him. Pour your release out upon him. Pour everything that you can upon him, Lord, and help him. Send all the support that you can help do to help him, Lord Jesus. And may we be faithful, Lord, as a people under Pastor Gary, to pray for him and hold him up before you every single day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And Lord, I want to pray that you would anoint this message. It's just words on paper right now, Lord. And it's not about me, it's not about anybody in this church, it's about you, Jesus. I pray to anoint it with your Holy Spirit, and then it would sink in, it would change perspectives in some people today. It would change us, Lord. We would take it with us. We would receive a word from you, Lord Jesus, today. May every heart be opened. May every heart be opened to receive something from you today in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may just receive, if the only thing you receive is pray for the pastor, that's huge. Take that home for you. That's huge. If you don't hear anything else, that's fine. But I got some PowerPoint up here for you, and I thought it's a catchy title. It's okay to slip away. That's the title of the message. It's okay to slip away. You have permission to slip away. The Lord gives you permission to slip away. It says we should slip away often from the crowd to a wilderness to pray. So that's what we're going to talk about. Turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. And so I'm still in Luke. I'm studying through the book of Luke. I'm preaching a message at a time as I come to it. And Luke has been an awesome book. Luke says many people back in the day, back in the first century, made an attempt to write about Jesus, made an attempt to compile everything that Jesus did. Many people. We don't have all the people that wrote about Jesus. We don't have all the records. But we have four: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Luke says, I'm going to make an attempt to write a historical, orderly account of the things that happened in Jesus' life, of the works of Jesus Christ. I want to show you how Jesus worked. And so we go from the birth of Jesus to the birth of John the Baptist to the baptism of Jesus. And then he goes out in the wilderness for 40 days, and he doesn't eat. He's without food for 40 days. He's led there by the Holy Spirit. He's with the devil. The devil tempts him. Then he goes directly into his ministry, and he has the ministry is described in chapter 4 as ministry of release of captivity, release from enemies, release from the bondage. The devil tries to put a hook in you and tries to make you captive of certain things. So Jesus' ministry, I'm going to release you from that captivity. He's a ministry of recovery, of illness. So he's come to help you with your illness. His ministry is like that. Be healed in Jesus' name, he says. Be healed in my name. And so recovery, and he also has a ministry of freedom. Freedom from being oppressed, freedom from being downtrodden, freedom from being depressed. How many get depressed sometimes? I do. I get depressed sometimes. I need to go to the Lord and say, free me of this heaviness that's on me, this heaviness, this burden. You just need to set it aside, set this burden aside, and move on. So that's Jesus' ministry of freedom from oppression, and also a ministry of favor. He loves us. He loves us. And we've spoken it so many times in prayer this morning. In spite of who you are, in spite of how messed up you are, I'm messed up. I admit I'm messed up. Anybody else messed up in here? I'm messed up. In spite of who I am, Jesus still loves me. In spite of all this, he still has mercy on me. He still pours out his favor upon me in spite of being not the perfect person. I'm far from perfect. And so that's good news. And so that's his ministry all through the first part of Luke. Release, recovery, freedom, and favor. He's preaching all that. And so last time when I preached, it was at the night service, he was talking about leading your disciples. He was talking about you all have disciples. If you're a parent, you have disciples. Your kids are your disciples. You need to disciple your kids. If you're a friend of somebody, that could be your disciple. If you have grandkids, they could be your disciples. You all can think of somebody that is your disciple, that looks up to you, that you can lead to follow Jesus Christ. And so the message last time was lead your disciples. Go ahead and lead them by example, and lead them by teaching them, and lead them by encouraging them towards greater things. And so now we're going to go in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. It's okay to slip away. It's okay. This is good news. This is a freeing message today. You're going to be free today if you really receive this message. It's okay to slip away. I'm going to go right into it. Chapter 5, verse 12. It says, while he was in one of the cities, and Jesus was ministering from city to city, he was up by the Sea of Galilee, back down to Judea, up the Sea of Galilee, back and forth. He says, while he was in one of the cities, he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even further, and large crowds were gathering to hear him. They wanted to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But this is the key verse, and this is the verse that just captured me, and this is the verse that I'm going to try to preach to you, and this is the whole message in this verse. It says, but as the crowds are coming, trying to hear him, bringing their sick, it says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that in depth. He would often, the people were coming to hear him. People were bringing their sick, but he would often take off. So the first point, if we can have the first point on the PowerPoint, is I think the Bible says in verse 16, I think it says that, here's the first thing I got to say, actually. I got to back up a little bit. My Christianity, and hopefully yours, says that Jesus is my example. What Jesus does, I should try to follow. That's what the relationship with Jesus is. It's following Jesus. If we're not following his example, if we're not doing the things that he did, then we're not, are we really following him? Do we really have a relationship with him? We need to follow Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to preach based on, I want to do the same things that he did. I want to do the same things in my life that he did in his ministry. And so, and one other thing about this is it's possible. It's possible to do this. The Bible says you will even do greater things than these. And it's possible to live a life like Jesus. It's hard, but it's possible. Jesus modeled it for us. And I believe in Philippians 4 is the key verse for this. It says that he emptied himself and humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. He became just like us. I think he suspended he was still the Son of God, always the Son of God, always deity. Jesus is divine, for sure. But he put that aside and lived a life as a human being dependent upon the Holy Spirit for his power, that we could imitate the same kind of life. That we could imitate the same kind of life. And so that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to imitate Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. He did it perfectly. He didn't stumble at one instance of it. We're trying to get a piece of that in our lives. And so it says in chapter 5, verse 16, it says Jesus would often slip away. So I think the first point is that we should slip away often also. We should slip away often. Often we should slip away. All those words are important in that. We should slip away often. Large crowds are gathering to hear Jesus and be healed, but, that but is a key word too, but Jesus himself would often slip away. He's gone. Jesus was, now here's the first thing I want to make sure that you understand when I preach this. There could be an extreme on either end of this. And Pastor Gary's always taught us not to fall towards the extremes. Jesus is not a hermit. Jesus is not antisocial. Jesus is not like a secluded monk where he goes off and never contacts human beings. He's not like that. Look at verse 12. It says in verse 12, he was in one of the cities. He was in one of the cities. He was not always in the woods. He was not always in the desert. He was in the cities. That's where a lot of people are, right? Cities, that's a lot of people. He was in the cities. So he was contacting people. He wasn't a hermit, wasn't a monk. He was contacting people all the time. He made himself available and was seen by the leper. He had contact with the leper. He had contact with people all the time. And he stopped to meet their need. When he contacted somebody that had a need, Jesus Christ met that need. So what did he do when he met this leper? What did he do to minister? In verse 13, it says, Jesus stretched out his hand. He stretched out his hand toward the person. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we fall to the other extreme. We're so busy with our hands folded that we don't know how to stretch out our hands to the person in need. So Jesus met that need. He stretched out his hands to this person in need, and he touched the leper. He touched the leper. You know, you can get infected by a leper. He touched the leper. He met the need no matter what the cost. And so we need to do that also. He told the leper not to go to the woods, but to go testify to the priest. So the leper wasn't to be following Jesus and become a hermit also. The leper was to go testify to the priest. So it's not a message of seclusion. It's not a message of go down to the woods and stay in the woods forever until Jesus comes. No, this is not the message. Jesus met the needs. He was not a hermit. He was not antisocial. But he was not always in the woods praying. He was not always there. But, there's a big but. This is a big but for our church, I think. This is a big transition. I think we need to look past this but. It says Jesus himself would often slip away. The crowd was gathering. Here's a big conference. We got the big GU conference, or we got the adult conference, or we got the youth retreat. The crowd is gathering. Or we got the summer camp. Crowd is gathering, and they were ready to hear the featured speaker, Jesus of Nazareth. Here's our featured speaker today is Jesus of Nazareth. And give a good big hand for Jesus of Nazareth. And he cut out. He left. And he did this often. This is often his practice. By this time, I think Judas is probably getting real frustrated. Judas being the money taker, you know, how are you going to take an offering now when the featured speakers took off? So Judas is probably frustrated. He's mad. And this might give us some hint. Why do you think Judas got mad in the first place? Jesus never met worldly expectations. He never did things like you would expect him to do. So Judas is probably frustrated and mad that Jesus, every time the crowds gathered, here's a chance for big fame, here's a chance for big prestige. He took off, he left. So the crowds, here's another, and it doesn't get better, it gets worse. This gets more challenging as you look at this. As you really study this, it gets worse. Because the crowds came carrying their sick. They came to be healed by him. They came to carrying their dying children. What did Jesus do? They're desperate for his help. What did he do? He took off. He slipped away. How did he slip? How did he slip away? Did he hide behind a tree somewhere? And, you know, how did he? I don't know. I don't know how he slipped away. He slipped away. What does that mean? Slip away. He did this often. People were bringing sick to him, and he often slipped away. Really? Does that bother you at all? When you think about that, does that bother you about Jesus, that people would be bringing their sick and he would just take off? Does that bother you? The Jesus I know is full of compassion. He's always ready to meet a person's need, and yet this says he just took off. And he did it often. So verse 15, look at verse 15 in your Bible, or verse 16 in your Bible. All right, verse 15 and 16, make sure you look close and check me out, make sure I'm right. But I think it just says, if I were to sum that up, it says, they came to be healed, and Jesus left. And he did this often. Isn't that what it says? Am I right? They came to be healed, Jesus left, and he did this often. I think that's what it says. So why? Why did he do this? If we want to imitate Jesus Christ, and that's what I want to do, I want to be like my Savior, Jesus Christ, so I want to know why he did this. Why do you think he did this? And I really wrestled with this week. Why did you operate like this, Lord? Why did you operate? I was wrestling with this all week. Are you really a cold, uncompassionate God that people would bring sick people to you and you'd slip away often? Is that Jesus? No way. There's no way. I think there's two possibilities that I came up with. You may have more. You study yourself. You study yourself and you try to figure this out. I came up with two possibilities. Number one is real simple. I think he had other things to do. He had other things to do. He had other priorities. That's a word you should remember from today's sermon. He had other priorities, things that were prior and more important at this time than the sick being healed. He had other priorities. And the priorities that he set, you'll see when I think about Jesus' priorities, it's for the greater good. It's for the good of all the people that are coming. It's not just for him. He sets his priorities for other people, and it's for the greater good. He had priorities. He leaves because he knows it's best to leave. You know, so if you don't have priorities, you should set priorities in your life. And if you stick to your priorities, you will benefit other people also. You're not just going to benefit yourself if you stick to your priorities. He had to do the plan of God. He had to make disciples of the whole world. That was the plan of God. He had to continue that plan, and that was his main priority. So this all means, I come to this because, you know, Jesus Christ in the flesh, he couldn't do everything. He could not do everything. He limited himself. He humbled himself. He became like a servant. He emptied himself, so he couldn't be omnipotent. Powerful, whatever that word is. He could not do that because of the way that he chose to minister for our benefit. He could not do it. So he could not do it all. Is that a word for somebody here? You cannot do it all. You cannot do everything. You have to set priorities. You have to set priorities. This doesn't mean you got to be a strict legalist to your priorities, of course. You can stop for one person that messes up your list. But you have got to set priorities. You have to set priorities. You can't do it all. I think this was his priority list. If he set his priorities 1, 2, 3, this is what I would say Jesus' priorities were. Number one, his number one priority was his Father. That was his number one priority, his Father, his relationship to his Father, number one. What was his second priority? I think it was to his disciples, especially three Peter, James, and John, the top three. He even had a priority in there. Disciples was the second priority. I think somewhere in there with the disciples, and I couldn't put it under the disciples or over the disciples, somewhere in there, the Bible teaches that he has a priority towards angels, too. He has a concern for angels. Rebellious angels, angels that are good, a witness to the angels. He tells us in many parts of the Bible, the church is a witness to the angels. So he has a priority there. And I think the third priority in Jesus' list is the crowds. He's concerned for all men. He's concerned that all men will be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So there's his top three, I think. What is your priority list? Do you have a priority list? Do you have priorities in your life? What's number one? Think about it for a second. What's your number one priority? I'll give you a chance to think about that. What is your number two priority? Think about that. Everybody got it? What is your number three priority? You should go home, if you've thought of these three, you should go home and write these down somewhere and make sure that you remember these priorities in your life, because you can't do it all. I can't do it all. Judy can't do it all. Eloise can't do it all. We cannot do it all. We have to set priorities. You want to transform your family? You want to transform your kids? Let me tell you my priorities. Here's my priority list. I've thought about this before. My priority list. Number one is Jesus, of course. No, that's probably, everybody probably answered that. Number two, and this might be some dispute, but number two for me is my family. My family is second. And within that priority in my family, my wife is first. My kids are second to my wife. And number three priority, I'm sorry, but my number three priority is you guys. You're after my family. My church is number three. I'm not putting you above my family. So that's my hint. You want to transform your family, set some priorities in your family. I set a priority that my wife was number one, my kids are number two, and my kids know this. And I demonstrate it by times when I come home from work, I'll go to my wife first. I'll talk to my wife first, and I'll give her a hug first. I'll put her first in things, and I'll often slip away and leave the kids somewhere and go with my wife somewhere. We slipped away to Cannon Beach last summer and left the kids at Grandma's house. So my wife is first in our family. You want to transform your family? Kids pick up on that. I think kids pick up on that. They think that's important. It transforms their confidence. A lot of their confidence is based on the fact that they know mommy loves daddy.
That's right.
That's a lot of kids' confidence, I think. And so you want to transform your family, rearrange your priorities in your home a little bit, and put your wife first. Put your wife first. If you don't have a wife or spouse, then maybe you just need to put Jesus first. Maybe you're not doing that. But those are three that I would recommend. But you can have your own. Jesus had a big job. He knew to transform the whole world with his ministry, he would have to set priorities. He would have to set priorities. The Father first. He said his Father is first, and that's our model. Now, I believe, again, I said this already, but I believe at times this list gets upset. And if somebody has come along and contacting you, and you're in the middle of family time, you may have to make a choice, led by the Holy Spirit, to upset your priorities. You may have to do that. But you should still have priorities. You should still have a priority list. Don't stick to it slavishly, but you should still have a priority list. That's the first reason. I think Jesus had other things to do. That's why he slipped away. He slipped away from the crowd often, because he had other things to do that were priorities. Time with his Father, ultimate priority. But also the second reason he slipped away, I think, was because he needed to refill.
Yeah.
He needed to refill. He needed to refill. Again, he was the emptied servant of God in Philippians 2. He operated by the Holy Spirit's power. He says in John, I can do nothing on my own initiative. Everything he did was directed by the Father. I think everything he did was inspired by the Holy Spirit for us, for our example. And again, it's for the greater good. It's for the greater good, not just for the moment. It was more important for him to refuel than to minister to people in need at that point. He set a priority, so he slipped away often. Often he did this. He went to refuel. He would give them his very best, and then he would go spend time with God. At times he would spend all night in prayer. As the Bible says, all night in prayer. Jesus Christ, why would he need to spend all night in prayer? The Son of God. He had to refuel. He had to reconnect with his Father. He had to get inspiration. He needed to do that. One evidence of this comes in verse. Look ahead to verse 17 in your Bible. Verse 17. It says, one day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. Well, if the power of the Lord was there, they had to say that. The power of the Lord was there at that time. At another time, it probably wasn't there. So Jesus had to, I think Jesus had to refuel. I think he had to refill. So he would often slip away. Jesus would often do this. 40 days in the wilderness with the Holy Spirit and the devil was one time he really slipped away. No food. Over and over in Luke. Example, go back to 4:42 if you're in your Bible. Go back to 4:42. So when day came, Jesus left and he went to a secluded place. It says, Jesus left. See ya, I'm leaving. It's for your own good. Goodbye. I'm tired of you guys. So he just took off. I need to refuel. I need to set my priorities. He just took off and left, you know. He just went out the door. But that would be what it would be like, because the crowds were always pressing in on him, looking for more, and he just slipped away. He just took off. Often he did this. One example of this in our time is Pastor Tom from the Foursquare Church in Yakima, one of the Foursquare Church. This guy went and did a real big slip away. He slipped away for 40 days, and he fasted. This guy in Yakima, he fasted for 40 days, and he went in a tent that he pitched. And he only went home for showers in the morning. 40 days, no food, only water, spending priority time with Jesus Christ. That's an example in our day of somebody that really slipped away. Here's another example that's a lesser example that we did in our family. I said my wife was my first priority in our home. We had a thing that we learned from a parenting book that was called, I think it's called self-directed playtime, but I'm not sure. It was in the Yakima Herald Republic, too. It was a standard thing that you can do with your kids. And we said we would often slip away. You know those little cages that you put up on the door for your bedroom? Who invented those things? Those things are the greatest things known to man. It's not jail. It's the crib is jail. When they're in the crib going like this, that's jail. But these little things just protect the kid and keep the kid in their bedroom for a time that mom and dad can spend some time together. How about that for a change? And mom doesn't have to chase little Johnny around and make sure he doesn't stick his hand in every light socket or something like that. You know, you protect a room, you put the cage up, you train the kid to play by yourself. The Yakima Herald said in an article about this method, it said, kids that do this do better in school. That was the study that was done. They do better in school because they're forced to be creative. You know, the same old toys, same old stuff, not getting into all the utensils in the utensil drawer, but the same old toys. Play with your toys. Mom and dad are going to have some time together. And that's an example of slipping away. So just, you know, you stick that cage up there, you know. You slip away. It's important. It's priorities, isn't it? It's priorities. What is your priority? It's better for my kids that I have a strong relationship with my wife. It's better for my kids that my wife is rested and not constantly pulling her hair out, right? That's priorities. That's priorities. So the application is just slip away often. You should slip away often. Find a way to slip away and do it often. Prioritize your life. Prioritize your life. Then slip away from 2 to 1. Go from 3 to 2. You know, go from family time to time with Jesus more. Go from church time to time with family more. Move in the list up your scale. Spend more time at your top priorities. Should Jesus be number one? Jesus should be number one, shouldn't he? Jesus should be our number one priority. I don't think that there's no doubt. Sometimes we don't put him in first place. Sometimes we don't put him in number one. What do you think he thinks about that when we don't put him in number one place, first place? What do you think he thinks? I think that should be your top priority. Get refilled. You can do it. And Jesus, I always preach a daily quiet time, but Jesus often went in large chunks out into the wilderness and spent all night in prayer with his Father. Maybe it doesn't need to be daily, but it needs to be regularly. It needs to be often enough so that you're filled up with the Holy Spirit. So slip away for the good of your kids, the rest of your family. Slip away. You can't do it all. You cannot do it all. Prioritize your life and then often slip away. So that could be your word. If you take that home, know that you should slip away often. You should do this often. You should go up your priority scale and slip away often. That could be what your take home today. Number two, it says to slip away to the wilderness. Jesus slipped away to a certain place, to a wilderness area. Verse 16. But Jesus himself, that word himself kind of is strange to me. Jesus himself, it reminds me of, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me in my house, this is what I'm going to do. As for Jesus, this is what I'm going to do. Jesus himself, he would often slip away. It says, Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness. To the wilderness. You can do, he said, you can do what you want, church. I'm not concerned about what you think of me. I shouldn't be so concerned about what my brothers and sisters think of me. I shouldn't offend them. But I shouldn't be so concerned about what you guys think of me or what pastor thinks of me. But you can do Christianity your way. I'll do Christianity my way. And as for Jesus, he says, I'm going to the woods. I'm going to the woods. You can do what you want. I'm going to the woods. I'm going to slip away. That's my priority. I got to be with my Father. So Jesus didn't leave one crowd, and he didn't leave one crowd and go to another crowd. He left a crowd and went off by himself into a wilderness. A wilderness, what is a wilderness? It's a secluded place. In 442, it's a secluded place. There's no people in a wilderness. You can't slip away like Jesus did to a wilderness and just be around a bunch of people. That's not what he did. He went and got by himself to a secluded place. This is the place of John the Baptist, too. John the Baptist was radical. He grew up in verse 180. There's 80 verses in chapter 1. Did you know that? There's more than 80 verses. He lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance. John lived in the deserts. The day of his public appearance was 30 years. He was about 30 years old. Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. John, 30 years old, too. So 30 years, about, John slipped away for 30 years. Radical. But he didn't stay a hermit. He came back. In verse 3:2, it says he got his word. He got his word there in the wilderness where there's no people. And the word of God came to him in the wilderness. The wilderness is where the devil tempted Jesus for 40 days. We saw that. Now, again, these guys are not monks. They're not hermits. They're not antisocial. I'm not preaching that. They were social. They had fellowship. They were people that contacted people. But they came to a secluded place. They slipped away to a secluded place, to a wilderness. Now, when they were done, they came back from the secluded place and they went back to the city. Went back to the city and ministered to people. They didn't stay there. Now, so what was happening here is obvious. I'm going to say it anyway because you need to know this. What's happening here is they needed to get away from people to get close to God. They needed to get close to God. They needed to hear from God. They needed to do this without the distractions of people. I don't think you can do, I really, do, my Christianity is, so I don't think you can do Christianity without slipping away in some form or another. I don't think you can do it. How can you do it? How can you do it? I can't, I couldn't, I would not, I'd be falling away so fast it's unbelievable. I believe you can fall away from the Lord. I'd be falling away so fast it's unbelievable if I didn't spend time with the Lord. I'd be in the world. I wouldn't be a Christian. So I don't think you can do it. You have to get to your quiet place. You have to get to your quiet place. And your prayer closet. Sometimes people call it quiet time. Some people call it a prayer closet. Some people call it just a secluded spot to spend some time alone with God. With God, you have to do that. Here's something I'm going to say this two times because I think this is important. There's no greatness. I've seen this because I've listened to people at conferences that I consider great men and women of God, and I've listened to people on TV and so forth, and other people that I've had through my life that have been great men and women of God. And here's my statement. There is no greatness in the kingdom of God without time alone with God. There may even be mediocrity. I'm going to say this again. There is no greatness in the kingdom of God without time alone with God. I just don't think it can happen. That's the point where you separate yourself and you say, I am going to truly follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to get time alone with God. And that's when they start making movies about you. Like the guy in Faith Like Potatoes. That's what his practice was in his farm. He slipped away and got in the corn, read his Bible, prayed to God in the middle of his cornfield. You have to get away. So you have to do this because you got to hear clearly. It's hard. Anybody have difficulty hearing from God? Am I the only one that's going to admit this? Raise your hand if you have difficulty hearing from God. It's hard. It's hard to hear. It's hard to discern his voice. It's hard to discern his will. It takes concentration. It takes focus. You got to get to a quiet spot to hear from God truly without distraction. You can hear from God in other spots too. I'm not saying you can't. It's easier when it's quiet. And you got to get a way of God to refill with the Holy Spirit. Because it's not because it's just about you. It's because you want to come back and stretch out your hand and lay it on somebody and say, be cleansed. It's two simple words Jesus said, be cleansed to the leper. And he was clean. He was healed. So that's you want to be good in the private place, in the quiet place, so you can be good in the public place. So you can be good in the public place. I had two examples of this in my life, two teachers of mine. Ron Frost was a teacher of mine, and he often, you're going to think this is corny. I don't think this is corny. Some of you are going to think this is corny. I don't think it's corny, but I'll tell you right up front. But he was a single man, and he would go on dates with Jesus Christ. He would say, I'm going to go on a date with Jesus Christ. He'd go out and drive in his car, go to the beach, and he'd go spend the whole day on the beach, him and Jesus. He called it a date with Jesus Christ. I had another teacher that David Needham, who nightly at night when there was less people, he went on prayer walks around Portland. Just prayer walks, him and Jesus, prayer walks around Portland every single night. So the challenge for you guys, you need to slip away to a wilderness, to a quiet spot. You need to get to your quiet spot, get to your quiet place, spend time in your quiet place with God. Find a private place. Be there for a little bit, or go not as regularly, but go for long periods of time. Some way you need to get refilled. You need to get with God. Amen. I'm not sure if Jesus did it daily. I couldn't find a verse. Somebody can tell me a verse after the service where Jesus did it daily. Go ahead and show me that verse. But he did it all night at times. He would go and pray all night. He would go and really get close to God for long periods of time. So last idea, and then we're almost finished here. Idea three. Okay, you want to slip away often. You want to do it all the time. You want to slip away to a wilderness, to a quiet place. That's two things about it. The other thing about it, you want to do something when you slip away. You want to slip away to pray. It says slip away to pray. It says, but Jesus himself would, verse 16, Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness. Why? It says right there, to pray. This is the purpose of the whole thing. Why did he go? Why did he slip away? Why did he cut out? People were bringing sick and dying children. Jesus had to go. I'm leaving. See you later. I'm slipping out the back door. Because he had to pray. His purpose was to pray. It wasn't, I hate to break it to some of you guys, but it wasn't for the purpose of fishing or hunting or camping. I wouldn't do it for those reasons anyway, but it was just... I'd go probably to running or do something that's something weird. But it was for the purpose of praying. It was for the purpose of praying. He slipped away to pray. Over and over in Luke, it talks about this. In 6:12, verse 6:12, it says, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. He went off to a mountain for the purpose of praying. Not to go mountain climbing. He went to pray. And in verse 9:18, Luke, it happened that while he was praying alone, it says in Luke 9:18, In verse 9:28, he took Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. This time he took a smaller group and had a prayer meeting with a smaller group. He went to pray. In chapter 11, verse 1, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, he was in a certain place praying, and in 22:41, he withdrew from about a stone's throw. He got away from them, and he knelt down and began to pray. Jesus prayed. He prayed often. He slipped away to pray often. Prayer is the fruit of our relationship with God. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is the fruit of our relationship with God. So if you don't have any prayer going on in your life, what relationship do you have with God if you don't have any prayer going on in your life? I'm going to say it that hard because I think it is. I can't figure out another thing in the Bible that talks about what the Christianity is but a relationship with God. And I can't figure out a relationship with God without communication. There's no relationship without communication. So if you don't have any fruit of prayer in your life, you better check yourself right now and say, what's going on? What is going on? It's a test. No fruit, no prayer, no relationship. So, does this bring us to a point where, you know, we come to church, we go through the motions here, I don't know, you know, we worship God, and it was awesome, but a lot of times we don't take any action. We don't take any action when we come to church. So if you, what I said, I think we need to stop and say, if what I said about prayer is hitting you in your heart, you've just thought about this, and you thought, you know, I am not praying. You just thought about this. I'm not praying. I don't have a prayer life. I only pray at meals. You're saying, geez, where's my relationship with God? You know, right now is the time to take care of it. Right now is the time to take care of it. Church is the best place to get it right. And then all of a sudden you're going in the right track, and all of a sudden you're praying, and all of a sudden you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're moving forward. This is the place to get it right. So I'm gonna make an altar call. So if you... And this isn't really the end of the sermon, but this is an altar call because it's important that we stop when the Holy Spirit says stop. So if you think that you haven't been praying, if you haven't prayed in I don't know if I want to put a time on it. If you haven't prayed in a long time, if you haven't communicated with God in a long time, I want you to just come down front. I want to pray for you. If you haven't prayed, you got to be honest. I'm not just talking about at dinner. I'm not talking about lunch. If you haven't prayed, spent time praying alone to God in a long time, you haven't had a prayer time in a long time, I want you to get emboldened and get up and come down forward. Come down forward and we'll pray for you. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd move in people's life and embolden people to come down that haven't prayed in a long time, have been dry, have had no communication with God in a long time. This is the place to start it back off. This is the place to ignite it and get it going in the right direction. There's no relationship with Jesus Christ without communication with Him. No relationship. You don't have a relationship if you're not communicating with God. So we need to get it right. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would increase all of our prayer, increase all of our prayers, increase all of our prayer life. Help us to come closer to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Come closer to you. I pray for every person in this room that we would have a quiet time. We have a secluded time with you, Lord, that we would have a relationship with you. If you're feeling like coming forward, come forward. I'll wait for you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you were too scared to come forward, let's bow our heads together and just indicate to God by your Spirit that you wanna change this. So, Lord Jesus, I cry out to you, Lord, for the person out there in the seat that has not come forward, that it was scared to come forward, that still needs to pray, that has no relationship with you, would you contact them? And I pray tonight they would spend time with you, praying alone. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus would often slip away, and he had a purpose. He slipped away to pray. It's like, you know, why do we do this, guys? It's like watching TV and trying to talk to your wife. Anybody do this? I'm watching my favorite newscast, NBC News. My wife tries to talk to me, and I try to talk to her. It does not work. It does not work. It's a distraction. It's just like that. You can't be with Jesus and be distracted with a bunch of people. You cannot do that. You got to be focused. You got to be alone with God. You got to slip away to pray. It's just like that. So, do you do this? Do you slip away? Do you slip away and pray often? Do you have a list of priorities that you have that you make sure that you're doing the number one priority? And do you even have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you even praying at all? Those are the questions that are before us this morning. It's no big deal. We're all imperfect. I'm not perfect. I don't do it. Yeah, you guys are saying, well, he has a daily prayer time every day. He's so disciplined. So, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I falter at this constantly. The Lord knows I crash and burn on this all the time. I go weeks sometimes, or at least a week sometimes, with getting busy and getting away from the Lord and not praying and not spending time in the quiet time. And so we need to do this. We need to make a new plan. But I don't give up. I don't give up. If I catch myself, which I do, the Holy Spirit catches me, I make a new plan and I start again. I just make a new try at it. Maybe a new time, a new place to slip away and pray. So let's put in our spirit. What did the Lord say to us today? It says, it's okay. It's okay. You don't feel guilty about slipping away to pray. It's okay because Jesus is the number one priority in your life. It's okay to do your priority list because it's going to be for the benefit of your kids. It's going to be for the benefit of your church. If you will slip away and pray, it will be for the benefit of all those people that you're having to leave to do that. So we should slip away often from the crowd to a wilderness to pray. It's okay to do that. We should do that. It's important. So let's pray and we'll conclude our service. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this message. We love you, Lord. Forgive us for not putting you in first place at times. We're so sorry. Today we re-put you back in the place where you belong, first place. And we will often go to that place. We will often go to you. We will often go away from the crowds. We will often go away from people to be with you, Jesus. Because it's important. It's important for our family. It's important for our church. I pray you would put it on our hearts to do this, Lord. Put it on our hearts. Put it on our souls. If we haven't been praying, Lord Jesus, I pray you'd rain down a spirit and an inspiration of prayer upon us, Lord Jesus. Inspire us to pray every day. Inspire us to pray for our pastor every single day, Lord. Pray for our church. Pray for our school. Pray for our family every single day. Pray for our wives and husbands every single day. There's a whole list of things to pray for. Pray for our nation in Jesus' name. We need to slip away and pray, Lord. We need to get away from the crowds. We need to set priorities. Help us. We can't do it all, or we can't do this thing. We can't do this all. So help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to set you as number one priority and move to that often. Move to first place often in our lives. Jesus, it's a challenging message, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to do it. I pray that you'd seal it in our hearts and minister to all the people here. I pray everyone here would take home this word and pray about it and use it in their lives. I pray for success. I pray for our church that we would take ground. I pray that we would become a praying church, that when people think of the Christian Worship Center, they would say, that's a praying church. Christian Worship Center is a church of prayer. It's a place of worship, yes, but it is a praying church. It's a praying church. We'll take ground first in the spiritual, and then we'll take ground in the physical, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, and we pray that you'd go with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.